It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Jonah. We're enjoying that precious study. We've gotten down to the 13th verse of that chapter. But again, I'm going to read the chapter. It doesn't take very long, and that way you just keep yourself very familiar with the text and what we're studying, and just hopefully get an extra blessing out of it. So you look that up, please, and we'll start the reading in just a few moments. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us by phone, it's 217-847-2717. That's 847-2717. 2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one of those email addresses work just fine. So I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We'll begin reading now with Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? What people art thou? And he said to them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea may be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so what a wonderful text to read. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you, and I praise you that we have the opportunity for this study. Continue to guide and lead us each and every day, Lord, every day. And just as we have this opportunity to study the Word today, let's see that we enjoy that and we do it not just on one day a week, but we do it every day of the week. We open up your precious Word. We study your precious Word. We enjoy your precious Word. Please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us, if you would, please. Just direct us the path that you'd like us to go. We know first and the very first decision that needs to be made, and that decision is to be saved, to be born again. We have this precious quote, 3 days and three nights in this book, and what a message that has, and Jesus himself references this. And so please that understand how important this book is. It's not just a story. It's not just a myth. It is a true statement. It happened. It took place. And I hope that you believe, Father, I hope folks believe that are listening today. And so please bring them to salvation. Bring them that they're lost. And then help us to grow, Lord, young and old alike, Father. It's so sad, the condition and what's happening to our land and our country and our churches today. Please just burden the hearts of folks that they would come and hear your precious Word and be saved and then serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed this study. And again, we've gotten ourselves down into the verses of Scripture of the 12th and 13th verse here. And so I will read that again, and the question comes back in verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? You know, what shall we do to thee? You're the one that's running away from the Lord, because he had told them so. And he said, he gave them a direction. He said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And then, of course, we find in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture now, we need to understand that the word wrought is to, it had the storm was tossing it to and fro so much that it had no particular direction. It was just in the wind and the storm, no matter what they did to control it, they had no control of the ship. And the tempestuous is it's coming to an end of the matter. It's the end. We're all finished. We're done. The storm. We're going to die. And that's the condition that they found themselves in. We talked last time we were together concerning the storm, and you know, why was the storm sent? And was it necessary to send the storm? What was the purpose of the storm? And so those questions we looked at last week and had a good time in the fellowship of them, the purpose of that storm was to wake up Jonah. And so, you know, God had sent Jonah a message. He had given him a direction. He had given him a responsibility, a job to carry out, but he didn't carry it out. What Jonah decided to do, instead of following the will of God and receiving the blessings of God, he ran. He ran the other way. He ran from God. And so the question we talked about last time we were together, and that is, you know, why? Why didn't God just go get somebody else? Well, he's called Jonah. He wanted Jonah to do this. And so he sent the storm, and he sent it to awaken Jonah, to turn him around, to bring him back. And that was the wonderful responsibility of the storm. And so, you know, we've talked about sometimes a storm is for discipline. Sometimes it's just to grow us, that we may have a great victory. Jonah here was very stubborn, and he was willing just to die rather than to surrender and to serve. Many of us find ourselves in the same condition. We would rather just, you know, literally die spiritually, maybe not physically. In the case here with Jonah, he was willing to die physically, but just to die spiritually and not serve the Lord, not have the blessings of the Lord, and that is so sad. And so, again, God didn't have to send the storm, and the question come, you know, how will we survive from this? And so, as we found our way down now to the scripture verse, down to the 13th verse, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. That's very sad. The reaction that they had to the storm and the reaction they had to Jonah's response was to do everything they could do on their own power and their own strength. So instead of the storm turning Jonah around, and also the mariners, that Jonah would demand, and all Jonah had to do right here is to say, "Father, I am sorry. I didn't want to do what you wanted me to do." Again, you know, Jonah's a Jew, and they're Gentiles, and I don't, you know, that they don't need your word. They don't deserve your salvation. That was kind of the condition that the Jews looked at. And so we need to understand, and sad to say, there's even people today that look at different folks and think they don't deserve salvation. Every individual that I ever, my path ever crossed, none of us deserve salvation, but we all need it. And God's grace gives it. So all we need to do is come by faith to Him. So you don't be the judge and jury whether somebody needs the Word of God or not. You offer it, and you'll know quickly whether they are receiving it or whether they're turning it away. And that's not your responsibility of what they do with it. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to give out the Word of God. Tell people how to be saved. Well, that was what Jonah was supposed to do. He was supposed to give that message to the Ninevites, the residents of Nineveh. But instead of that, why, Jonah didn't want to, so he decided to take off another direction. And so we find here that the reaction to this storm and the reaction to what Jonah had told them, and they were afraid, it said, for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so it was so sad because they, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. He gives us all these, all this information, and everybody was aware of what was going on. And yet they did what most people do today, and that is they held on to the natural way. So their reaction, their action was to work harder, to row harder. Yeah, the scripture says, digged up and down. And so as we, nevertheless, they rowed harder to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and tempestuous against them. And wherefore they cried unto the Lord, say, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not up on us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." And so what a statement there, that they're calling upon the Lord. It's too bad that Jonah didn't say, Lord, I will do what you desire for me to do. Again, they rowed harder. They didn't turn to God. They didn't trust by faith that this would take care of it. But the 13th verse, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. It's sad today that most people try to work their way to heaven. Maybe it's through a certain religion that you're a part of. Maybe your religion promotes works, or yet, better yet, demands works. Do you demand, does your religion, your church demand that you serve in a certain capacity? You have to be working in the church, or at least you have to be baptized and join this given church. And when you do that, why, then that kind of secures your salvation. And, but then you're to serve, you're to be working all the time, not working, because you're actually working your way to heaven. And then when God, you know, when the day comes that you die, then what God's going to do is he's going to weigh it, and good works, bad works, and if the good works outweigh the bad, I'm okay. Boy, I hope they do, but I got a lot of bad works. I don't know if my good works are going to outweigh my bad or not. That's got nothing to do with it. Not a single thing. And yet, many folks, and I can truly say most folks, they desire to work their way to heaven, and you can't. No one can satisfy God by our works. The only work that satisfies God is the work that His Son, Jesus, did upon the cross of Calvary. He died upon that cross. He took your sins and mine away. And all we need to do is come by faith to Him, trust in Him for salvation, and He'll give it to us. Now, we are to work and we are to serve, but not to keep our salvation. We're to serve and we're to work to please our God. And we should desire with all of our heart to please our God. We should want to please our God. It should be such a great opportunity and a great time for us to serve God, to serve Him in some capacity within the church, you know, whatever it might be, to serve Him to the point that we are giving out that precious gospel. We're telling folks how to be saved. We need to do that. We need to be in service, but not for salvation, because you see, they tried. They did everything, but they could not. God sent this storm. It's a beautiful picture. And our life is nothing but a storm. But if we're ever to be rescued from that storm and not perish and go to hell, the only way to do it is for us to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The worst advice that can be given is that I'm going to row harder. You row with me. Let's work harder. Spiritually speaking, that's the worst advice you can have. Again, we need to serve, we need to work, but not till after we've come by faith to Jesus and trusted in Him. Our best is never enough. Our best is never good enough. We need to understand that. I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, what level of education that you have, how many, you know, how much work you've done within the church, doesn't matter. Does not matter. What matters is your relationship with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? So they decided to, to do the best they could, but it wasn't working. Your best isn't enough. You know, lost men rowed as hard as they could instead of listening to God. Same way today. So many folks' lives, they are working and working and working and trying to please their religion in most cases. But their religion isn't what God's asking for. He's asking for you and for me to come to Him by faith and be saved, be born again, and enjoy that precious time. You know, for us to have victory And we're going to find out what they're going to do here. They're finally going to abide by what Jonah said. Because Jonah told him, he said, if you throw me overboard, the sea will be calm. It'll be over. It'll be finished. We need to understand, as a child of God, our life is not our own. It is our God's. He has bought and paid for it. And we have the opportunity to serve Him. Please, that we enjoy and carry out our responsibility as a child of God, serving. But the picture we're coming up to here is another beautiful picture. What happens when one man is thrown overboard and the thought is that he's died? That one man saves all the rest of them. One man saves the rest. It's this concept of a substitution, to have a substitute. And that substitute here being Jonah in the picture. Jonah's the problem. Jonah's running away. That he should have repented and turned to the Lord. He should have went in the first place. But instead of that, he ran away and put these folks' lives in jeopardy. But here we do have a beautiful picture, because the question was, what is it that we should do to you so that the storm will stop? That's back in verse 11. What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and is tempestuous. So the question was asked. And then, of course, he answered, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. We're going to have someone here that's going to save the rest of them. What a beautiful picture. What a lesson. His life for theirs. What about you? Have you trusted in Jesus? Because He died for you. Just like Jonah died for the mariners. He was their substitute. They could have all perished. And if you don't come by faith to Jesus, that's exactly what will happen to you. You must come by faith to Jesus. When Adam, clear back at Adam and Eve, you remember what they did? They put the fig leaves on. You know, they sewed them fig leaves up to hide their nakedness. It wasn't good enough. Works, just like rowing, works. And is that your life? Are you working and serving and hoping that that's enough to please and satisfy a righteous God? Well, it's not. And maybe all the things that you're doing, you should be doing, but not till after you come by faith to Jesus. Because if you're working your way to heaven, you're not going to make it. You have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Adam and Eve these skins, these bloody skins. An innocent animal was slain, became the substitute. Adam, Eve, should have been put to death. They're sinners. God can't stand sin. But this picture of what was to come in His Son, the Lord Jesus, God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus, what's to come was that innocent sacrifice being His Son, the Lord Jesus. Adam received a picture of that with those skins. You know, man, and you can tell it with so many churches and religions and cults, so many, that they believe you have to have the works. They believe that you can never know for sure that you're saved. You just keep working hard. And again, man rebels against the thought of needing a substitute. I don't need anybody. I'm a good person. I've worked hard. I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. You need Jesus as your Savior. We don't need anybody to take our place. No. We don't need anybody. Yes, you do. You need Jesus. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him and have your sins taken away. But you need Him. You need that substitute. You know, man believes that they're getting better. We're improving on our own. Man has no desire for God or His presence or His salvation today because everything is getting better. You know, health-wise, we're living longer. It just, everything is better. No, it's not. It's getting worse and worse every day. We need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God the Father. We have to enjoy and have the fellowship. We need that substitute. Man believes they don't need it. They don't understand that they're sinners. They're lost. They need a Savior. Up in the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commandeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a gift. Sinners, lost, rebellious, need a Savior. You need a substitute. Adam and Eve need a substitute. Jonah, he need to listen to God and bring salvation to the land of Nineveh. But because he put these mariners in the jeopardy that they were in, by him giving his life, he saved the rest of them. By him surrendering his life, he saved the rest. Jesus died on the cross, surrendered his life, that all might be saved. But that's not a universal salvation. You must come by faith to Jesus to be saved. So please come through the Lord Jesus. Trust in the Lord Jesus today. We need a substitute. We must have a substitute. Jonah offered himself to be that substitute. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. God the Father said to His Son, "What can I do to calm the storm?" And Jesus said, "Toss me over the side, and the storm will end and be calm." We're in a storm of sin. We need to be saved. We need to be set free. But we cannot be set free until we have come by faith to Jesus and accepted that substitute. Jesus went to Calvary so that he could calm the storm, so that he could take our sins away and set us free. John 3:16 is a beautiful passage that I know each one of you can probably recite without even looking it up, but I love to read it to you so that you can hear it without question. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." What a joy. What a joy. Jesus has come to calm the storm. Would you come by faith to Jesus? You know, Jonah recognizes that he was the reason for the storm. Jonah recognizes that he was the answer to calm the storm. My dear friend, come to Jesus and calm the storm. What are you going to do about Jesus?